You are now listening to Financial Fornicating with Madam Money and Friends, the podcast where controversial cash conversations and fun financial tips are shared for healthier relationships with your money. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be big mad or laugh out loud. Either way, we're about to learn something. Let's go.
All right. Well, so excited for this episode because I have my sister from another mister on here with me, Miss Miranda Marquette. Is that, do I pronounce your name right?
You do. You do. You always get it right. It's always good. There's no problems.
It's not Marquette. It is Marquette, the way it is pronounced. And you are my money sister from another mister. I love you. We've known each other for years. Yes. I can't even remember how we met. Like, I think we met at FinCon.
Probably at FinCon.
Yeah. And I think we just gravitated to each other and just been loving on each other for many, many years. I've been on your podcast. You know, you've done some things with me and it's just been amazing. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. So yay.
Yay. So you were the best person to talk to about this because a lot of people feel like they're failing at this money game. And we want to talk about why they're failing. What are some tools that they can use to win this money game? But before we go into that, let the world know how amazing you are. Who is Miranda Marquette?
Oh, no. So I am a freelance writer and a podcaster. So I write about money on the internet. The main thing that I do is write about money on the internet. But I also help people understand their money values and figure out how to use their financial resources in a way that allows them to live the life they want.
That is great. Easy in a nutshell. And you are a fabulous writer. You write for several different online magazines, podcasts, blogs and everything like that. What are some places that people can find you?
Yeah. So, I have written for, Forbes Advisor, Next Advisor by Time, magazine, my stuff is syndicated to MSN Money, from various places. I have been on NPR's Morning Edition and I have appeared on Marketplace. And then I am also co-host of the Money Talks News podcast at moneytalksnews.com. So there's a lot of places you can find me, Google me, I guess.
Right. That's my thing. Google me, boo. Absolutely. Right. Like, yeah, all these places, trust her wisdom. So that's why I love having you on my shows and especially on this podcast. So let's get right into it. Like Miranda, like I said, a lot of people feel like they're failing at this money game and they just don't know why. Why do you feel like, what do you think about that? Why do people feel like they're failing at this money game?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it has to do with we don't really take the time to sit down and say, is the way I am using my money, is the way I direct my financial resources, does this align with my values? Does this align with my priorities, right? A lot of the time we just look at money and we say, okay, this is what's coming in, this is what's going out, and why is there never enough? And we don't really take a step back and say, how do we view our money? A lot of us view our money as the end itself. Like I need more money, but we don't stop to say like, well, why do I need more money? And what would I do with this money? Mm-hmm. And how does that connect to my values and priorities? And what really made me start thinking about this several years ago was when I was taking a look and I was like, why don't I have enough money to travel like I want? I feel like I make enough money that I should be able to travel and see some things and do some things, but why don't I have enough money? And then I looked around and realized I had a whole bunch of trinkets and doodads, and I was spending money on things that I didn't care about without really thinking about it. A lot of the time we're just like, oh, well, we need to buy this or we have to spend money on that. And we don't take a step back and really think about where does this fit into my life? And how does this make, you know, how do we turn money into a tool and turn the money into that means to an end rather than money being the end itself?
Wow. And that's really hard. Cause I've done that I see something and I'm a spender, you know, my financial language is spending, right? So, you know, that Walmart aisle, you know, right before you get to the cashier with a whole bunch of stuff that you really don't need. They designed that for people like me, right?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, babe.
We see it, we like it, we buy it. There's no thought into it. Like, well, how is this going to keep me from traveling? It's no thought into it. So that's very interesting that you say it, because that's absolutely true. If you look around the house and see a whole bunch of stuff, people look at their closet and they still have clothes with the price tag on them.
Right.
You know, and that outfit or those shoes or that trinket or whatever that still has a price tag on it, that is the money that you spent that's keeping you from doing what you really, really want to do to win that game. And so I completely get it, completely understand that. Sometimes we buy stuff to make us feel good because it helps with our serotonin levels, you know?
Right.
So we have to be very careful about that. So if we want to win this money game, what are some tips or what are some strategies that we need to do or know in order to win that money game?
Yeah. So I think one of the first things you need to do is know what matters to you so that you can properly review your spending. So a lot of us haven't really sat down and truly gone through our spending to see what we're spending money on. So, and then a lot of us also haven't sat down and thought about our values and what matters to us. And so that's kind of like the first thing to do is step one is to say, okay, what are my values? What do I want to accomplish with my money? What matters to me? And so for me, my top values are freedom and flexibility. I like to have freedom and flexibility to set my own schedule, you know, manage my time the way I want. So my top values are freedom and flexibility, travel, time with friends and family, and experiences. So these are kinds of the things that I value the most in my life. And so my first step was writing down, okay, what do I value most in my life? What do I want my money to accomplish for me, right? Whether it's today or tomorrow or 10 years from now. And, you know, and say like, okay, so if I value freedom and flexibility and time with friends and family and travel and these experiences, now I'm looking through my spending. Why are there so many things on my list? Why have I spent money on things when what I actually value are experiences or time with friends and family? So, why do I have, you know, why did I spend money on this big TV that I'm never sitting down and watching? Why did I spend money on, you know, like you said, why did I spend money on these clothes and the price tags are still on and I don't wear the clothes? Like, why did I spend money on that? And so really taking a step back and saying, okay, these are the things I say I value. Now, does my spending align with that? And really going through step by step and saying, okay, my spending does not align with my values. Now, what can I do? What can I cut? What can I cut from what I'm spending? What can I cut out so that I can now direct that money to things that matter to me. So that's your first step, is to really get clear about like, what are my priorities? What are my values? And now does my spending match that?
Yeah, I agree with that, because, you know, mine goes to food and, you know, the bar, don't judge me. So,
oh no, I'm not. That's right, part of the experience for me.
Right, like, there you go.
Food and the drink, that's an experience.
Thank you for clarifying that for me.
I love it.
Right? But in some cases, you know, if you look at how much you spend eating out and all of that, and you look at how much that was in a month, that probably could have paid for a trip. You know what I'm saying? For another experience, you know what I'm saying? So that's a very good point, is that looking at what you're spending things on and is it in line with what you say you really want in life? Because some of the things that we like that will gratify us immediately is going to take away from the long-term gratification of experiences, of flexibility, time, family, and all that stuff. So that's a very, very good point. I'm not saying don't go to the bar, but make sure it aligns with that experience type thing. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Right. Well, yeah, well, and look at it in a way of like, okay, so, you know, like I like to go wine taste, like I like to go to the wine tasting. And so,
hey, sound like you're ashamed of that.
Oh, no, I'm not. I know. I love going to the wine tasting.
That's the best experience ever.
Right. I love going to the wine tasting. So if I look at something and I'm just like, okay, well, is it going to be the wine tasting or or lunch out, right? Well, I want the lunch. I want the wine tasting. So maybe I'm going to make myself a sandwich.
Good choice.
And go to the wine tasting.
Good choice.
So it really comes down to like really stopping and thinking about it, because a lot of the time we just really do not make these decisions consciously. We don't really stop and think about it.
Mm-hmm. And Sam, there was this one post that I posted up there, is that some people eat out every single day, like $10 a day. That's like $300 a month or whatever. But you can't travel because you don't like making sandwiches. I thought that was hilarious.
Right. So it's like, you know, and you know what, if going out to lunch every day is like your jam and it's what keeps you sane, then yes, go out to lunch every day, mm-hmm. but just be aware of, okay, so then what do I need to not be spending money on? If I'm going to go out to lunch every day, where am I going to be cutting back? And what am I going to be, giving up, as it were, right?
Well, and a lot of people, they don't like the word sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice. It is a discipline, but it's really transferring of spending. So instead of spending it on this that may not be in line with your values, you're going to transfer that spending on something that is going to align with your values. And yes. So, you know, you're not giving up something, you're just transferring the spending. And what you may be giving up in hindsight may be better for you mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, whatever. Like there's some fast food that I need to not buy and transfer that spending on something else and just make a sandwich or make a salad. I'm still working through that through my mind as well. So we're all in that boat together. So what's the second step?
Yeah. So for me, the second step is once you have that figured out, once you have an idea of what matters to you and you've looked at your spending and everything, now you have to move forward and make sure you remain conscious of this. And so I created questions that I ask myself before I spend money. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I just kind of sat down, and this was kind of grew out of, I was having a conversation years and years ago, like with Carl Richards, who has written some behavioral finance type books. And he said that whenever he adds something to his shopping cart, he looks at it and says, that's interesting. And then thinks about why he's putting it in a shopping cart. So I kind of took that and turned it into questions that I ask myself based on my values and what matters to me, questions that I ask myself before I spend money. So whatever it is. And so the questions that I ask myself, and you can develop your own, but the questions I ask myself is, number one, do I need this? Right. So that's number one. Is this a need? Right. So I'm buying groceries, paying the rent, whatever. That is a need, right? Those are needs. You know, paying the insurance, paying my insurance bill, all of those things are needs. They're have to do spending. So mm-hmm. that's the first question I ask myself. Do I need this? Okay. The second question I ask myself is this helping me reach a goal? Right. So this includes things like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm setting money aside in my IRA, my retirement account, right? My tax advantage retirement account. I've got money going into my health savings account. You know, this is stuff that's helping me reach goals, right? My retirement is helping me reach my further goals of later in life, I'm going to be able to live the life I want and continue out. My health savings account, that helps me, you know, cover medical costs, get a nice tax deduction. These are goals, right? The money, and then the money I put into my travel fund, I have a travel fund. And so that helps me maintain my goal of being able to travel. Mm-hmm. So that's the second question I ask myself. Is this helping me reach my financial goals? Mm-hmm. And then the third question I ask myself is, does this help someone else? One of my values is I do like giving to charity. I like giving to local charities. Also, you know, my son started a job a few months ago, whatever. But it's working in a warehouse, and now it's really, really cold because we live in Idaho. It's really, really cold right now. And he had outgrown his last winter coat. And so I was like, you know what? I want to spend a little extra money, get him a nice coat that he can wear in this warehouse that isn't heated so that he can be a little more comfortable at work. So that expenditure, while it didn't help me with a goal and it wasn't one of my needs, it was a way to help him And, you know, like I said, I give to charity. I look through their, I look through the causes. I like specifically local charities. So like the local soup kitchen, things that I can see helping people in their lives. And so that's the third question I ask is this helping somebody else? Is it going to benefit somebody else? And then the fourth thing I ask myself is, will this enrich my life? Because money isn't just about preparing for retirement and paying your bills and buying the things you need. You know, it's also a tool that can help you live the life you want to live and enjoy your life. And so, you know, I get season tickets to the symphony. And I love that. And because I'm single, I just take a different friend with me to the symphony each time. So it's a fun experience for me to have. Like I said, one of my values is experiences with friends and family. And so buying these symphony tickets, it enriches my life. I participate in the arts. I love the music. And then I also get to have an experience I can share with my friends and family. And so it really kind of aligns that way with my values. So those are the four questions I ask myself. And then I encourage people, okay, think about your values, what matters to you, what kind of life you want to live, and come up with your own questions that you can ask yourself. And when I go to spend money, I ask myself, I go through those four questions and I have to answer yes to at least one of those questions. Or I'm like, okay, so then why am I spending the money on this? It's not the answer to all of these questions is no. So I'm not going to spend the money. I put the thing back or I empty the online cart and move on with my day. So,
right. And I love that because, you know, our questions don't have to be your questions. We can create our own questions based on what we value, what we want. Like, I know that one is when I'm 50, I want to look like Angela Bassett when she was Tina Turner. Right.
Right.
In my mind, I want to look that
do
way.
It, do
and
it.
And I have a year and some change to do it. Right. So when I decided if I want to go out to eat or whatever, even if I'm out to eat, what I'm choosing to eat, is that in line with the goal to help me get smaller than what I am now? Probably no. Right. So I either need to not get it or change my option with that, you know, the one of the things that the transferring of spending, even though I'm a bar chick and I love going to the bar, right?
Yes.
One of the things in 2023 that I'm planning to do in 2023 is transferring that spending, that every time I feel like I want to go hang out at the bar, I actually go to the gym and walk for 30 minutes, right? And if I still want to go to the bar afterwards, at least I've earned my food that I'm going to drink, right?
Right.
I've earned the carbs.
I like this. Yes. I like this idea.
So, you know, and as frequently as I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go hang out, that means that's as frequently as I'm going to go to the gym. And even if I just go and walk for 30 minutes to get my mind, I may think maybe I don't need that. Or maybe instead of five drinks, I'm just going to have one and drink lots of water. You know what I'm saying? So it's about changing the behaviors one step at a time, because a lot of people like to do cold turkey.
Oh yeah.
And cold turkey never, ever, it doesn't work for everyone. Some people can just cut it off, stop smoking, stop eating out, stop doing that. I'm not that person. Like if I feel deprived, I'm just going to do more. So I have to do it in step by step, you know, baby steps. Even as an adult, it's okay to do baby steps.
Yeah, I love that. And I think too, you make a really good point in that you're making like small tweaks and changes, right? And you're finding small things to do. And when you are working on changing your spending, it's kind of the same sort of a thing where you say, okay, rather than, you know, spending money on X 5 times a week, I'll do it 2 times a week, and I'll take the money I save from this and put it into the travel fund or put it into the retirement account or whatever it is that you're working on, or to pay down debt. So wherever you're at in your journey, you know, finding, you know, that why, and then making those small shifts, I think is huge and definitely key.
I love that, because one of the values may be to be debt free.
Right.
So if it's to be debt free, it is to pay down debt. So before you purchase something, whether it's a big ticket item, whether it's anything that requires credit, now you're going to ask yourself, is this going to help me towards paying down debt? Right. And if it's not, maybe it's something that you can wait, or something that you don't need to do or buy at this time. So I love that whole philosophy of, you know, thinking about your value system, creating the value system or the things that you desire and you want, and then making decisions based on those values, changing your spending based on your values. That's hot.
Right.
That's my PhD word. That's hot. That's hot. Okay. So what's the step number three?
Yeah. So then your third thing is to don't cheat on yourself, right? Stick with what matters to you and you'll start feeling better about your money. And this can be hard because you know, you're surrounded by people who might have different values than you or different spending priorities than you. And it's really tempting to just kind of go with the flow. I had a friend who didn't really particularly want to go to Hawaii. Like, it was not like, I mean, I would like to go to Hawaii. Like, me that's that, I'm hoping to do that next year in 2023.
Okay, we're going together. Okay.
Yes. And so, yes. So, but she didn't really care to go to Hawaii. She wanted to go to Europe again. But everybody in her family had been to Hawaii before. Everybody talked about how much they loved being in Hawaii, and she always felt left out because she couldn't talk about how she'd been to Hawaii. So she went ahead and spent money to go to Hawaii, and she had a fine time. It's not like she was sad about it, but at the same time, she ended up having regret because instead she missed out on a really great airfare to go back to Europe where she wanted to go and mm-hmm. see a couple countries she hadn't been in yet. Mm-hmm. And so she was frustrated because she's just like Hawaii wasn't really a bucket list item for me. And I went anyway, because I had the FOMO because everybody else in my family and friend group had been to Hawaii and we're always talking about Hawaii and I felt left out. And so part of that is really taking a step back and saying, well, wait a minute. Why, going back to that why and saying like, okay, so why do I want to go to Hawaii? Well, mm-hmm. I personally want to go to Hawaii because I've never been. Mm-hmm. It sounds heavenly and it looks like it's going to be beautiful.
I've lived in Hawaii. I lived in Oahu for 3 years. Nice. So, but I was a young child and I always wanted to go back and as an adult. So it is great. And there's so many other islands to go to. So you should definitely go to Hawaii.
Okay, great. And so, but for her, right, her why am I going to Hawaii? Her why was so I can talk to my family about it, so I can talk to other people about it, so I can be part, you know, and FOMO is never a good reason to do anything.
And for those that don't know what FOMO is, it's fear of missing out. Yeah. Just for those that don't understand, but the FOMO is real.
It really is. And I've been there, right? I have, it has taken me many years. I just turned 43 and finally, I'm finally like, when people are like, oh yeah, we're having this party. And if it's Friday night and I'm like, you know, I'm not feeling it. In the past, I'd be like, but what if I miss out on the crazy shenanigans that went down at the party? What if I miss out by not going to the party? Now I'm old enough and I'm just like, I'm okay with that. I am okay with missing out.
You evolve. You evolve. Fear of FOMO is like my bed versus FOMO. I'll take the bed.
Right, and I think that's, you know, part of, and I got to the point where like, you know, people are like, oh, get a bigger and bigger and bigger TV, and I'm just like, I don't watch TV that much. It's, you know, I don't need a big TV. Mm. And so I got over this idea that I have to have the same size TV as everybody, or I have to, you know, we kind of get in these narratives that we tell ourselves we do this because other people are doing it, or because we want to fit in, or because like, that's the way it's supposed to be. Right. I mean, another thing for me is buying a house. Everybody keeps thinking I should buy a house. I did that once. I had a house for 7 years. I did not particularly enjoy owning a house, and I don't care if I do again. So I am this person that likes renting. And for a long time, I was like, well, maybe I should just buy a house because everybody says I should buy a house. And I started thinking about it. I was like, but I don't want to buy a house. Like, I don't want to be responsible for the maintenance. I don't want to take care of the yard. I hate yard work. I don't want, like, all of the things that go with owning a house and living in this house that I own are things I don't want to deal with. And so, and I've moved into an apartment and people are like, you chose to move in, like you're choosing apartment living. And I'm like, well, yes, because somebody else takes care of all of the maintenance. Like if something weird happens, it's fixed almost immediately and I don't have to pay for it or make arrangements. I just have to like send a text to the work order and it's done. And so I really think, So really just think about what you value in your life and what matters to you and try not to, to cheat yourself and try and it is hard. It is really, really hard to overcome the idea of doing what you're supposed to do, following the path you're supposed to follow, all of these things. It's really hard. So really kind of working on that in small ways can help a lot too.
So I love that. Don't cheat yourself in trying to meet other people's expectations.
Yeah.
That you need to determine what is going to make you happy. And if renting makes you happy because you travel so much, you may decide that you don't want to live there anymore. So now you don't have to worry about selling a home. So, you know, a lot of people value real estate and all that. That's great. If you're like, I want to rent and that's what I want to do, that is okay. And a lot of people don't hear that. That it is okay if you just want to rent. There could be reasons why you want to do that. I've owned several homes. If something breaks down, I got to pay for it. Law maintenance, I have either got to do it or pay for someone to do it. You know, if the water heater, you know, breaks or whatever, you know, all of that. There's so much responsibility in owning a home. And in some cases, some people just don't want to deal with that. They'd rather deal with responsibilities of other things, of maybe investing in the stock market, of maybe investing in other things, maybe investing in travel for themselves, you know?
Yeah. And that's great. And knowing that, and then focusing on that, and then making sure that you stick to that is very important. And with the acknowledgement that as we go along through this, your questions might change, your values might change, your priorities might change. We talked about, you know, the questions you're asking. And like you said, like, will this help me pay down my debt? If that's where you're at in your journey, like I used to have that, like that used to be, you know, I used to have different priorities. My priorities used to be, you know, I've got the needs, I've got to pay down the debt, right? I have to, you know, so yeah. And so as you move through your journey, you are going to tweak these things and you might change, like some of your values might change. You know, I had a divorce 7 years ago. And so that really completely kind of changed how I had to start approaching my money and the things I had for goals, right? Because before the divorce, the goals were these shared goals with my then husband. And it was a lot of compromise between our money values, which is fine. Like there's nothing wrong with the priorities that he had. But, you know, now that I am divorced, now that my son is 20 and living on his own, rather than living with me, there's a lot of changes as you go through life. And so that's going to change some of your values and priorities, and it's going to change the questions you ask. And so it's a good idea to sit down and take stock every year and say, okay, what's changed? What's the same? And how do I need to adjust my questions? How do I adjust my spending? How do I adjust where that money is allocated as we move forward?
I think everyone, every year, whenever you want your year to start, it could be your birthday, it could be on a certain holiday, it could be the new year. Right. Everyone should reevaluate everything in their life to see if they're going to re-up the contract. Yes. I call it the contract. Or if they're going to make some changes, right? Even marriage, I think that every year, I think till death do us part, as long as we agree every year. So each anniversary, we talk about what worked, what didn't work. Are we willing to fight for it again? And let's re-up for another year. Because people's change, life changes. And I think that every year we should give ourselves grace enough to be able to make changes if necessary. If, you know, the way we started out isn't going to work for me anymore, this is what I need. If we're both willing to do that and compromise with each other, let's do this some more. And it's the same thing with our money and our value system. If there's some things that changed in our life, it may be some things that valued to me last year, that's not a value system to me anymore. You know what I'm saying? Now, maybe I have or a new value that I want to do. Like this year, I really want to have more experiences. You know, I want to experience life. I want to go somewhere and I want to feel the experience and not just work hard and make a lot of money or whatever. I now need to experience. Family and friends are very important to me right now. Mm-hmm. Spending more time with them, experiencing life with them, through them, and everything. So there's a lot of things in this coming year in 2023 that I am valuing more than I did in previous years. And that is super okay.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. And I know in your own life, like you've had a lot, you have had a lot in the last couple of years. And so I love this idea of, you talk about like re-upping the contract and reevaluating everything because there's a lot going on there. And when you kind of get hit with those things in life, you really do need to say like, well, wait a minute, what am I doing this all for? And how do I make sure that I don't lose what time is left?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like being a caretaker for my grandfather for so many years. And then mm-hmm. he passed away last year. And so now my value systems as it relates to caregiver is different now. Mm-hmm. Right. So now I need to caregive myself. So I have to start taking care of me in 2023. I have to start looking at my health, my wealth, and experiences and enjoying family. Because what we know from COVID is that people can be here today and gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to value those relationships now because we just don't know. So yeah, my whole system has changed and that changes my financial priorities as well. And so when that changes the financial values, then my spending has to change along with it to ensure that I can do the value. So your money value system is phenomenal. You know, I'm going to have to put all of that into perspective and put it in place because it's Miranda Marquit's fault.
Absolutely. Everything's my fault.
No. Everything. We love taking the blame for things. I just love it. It's fun. That's great. So I love those three tips to help us win the money game in 2023. Mm-hmm. If people want to learn more about you, connect with you, ask you questions, how can they find you or connect with you?
So MirandaMarquit.com. That's my happy little home on the internet. I mean, Twitter is usually my main social media, but we're going to see how that goes, I guess. Right.
Like, We should all sit back and watch.
I mean, I'm still on Twitter.
Look, I haven't been blocked yet, so we'll see.
Yeah. I'm still on Twitter. Still trying to figure that out, but my handle is at M Marquit. So not my full name, just M Marquit is my handle. I also am at M Marquit on Instagram. So those are like kind of the two main social medias. If you want to see a nice combination of things that I write about freelance writing, things that I write about my money journey, and just random things about guys that pick me up in bars or my trivia night.
Now you all see why she's my sister.
And Instagram are the places to be.
Now you see why she's my sister from another mister. I have a feeling when you and I go out, we will never have to pay for drinks. That's what we do.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you so much, Miranda, for sharing your expertise, not only here on the podcast, but also in the world as a professional freelancer. That is super amazing to me. And make sure if you all can't find her, you don't remember, just Google her, boo. Miranda Marquit, she's everywhere. So thankful that you are in my life.
Thank you so much. And I am so glad that we got to do this and we definitely need to hang out more in person.
Absolutely. 2023, there it is. We're going to be spending more time together. Thank you everyone for tuning in, listening, and watching. Make sure that you subscribe, like, and share this podcast, Financial Fornicating with Madam Money and Friends. Bye, y'all.